We're not coming just, well, we're actually coming to the end. It's just a, well, we've got about four or five, no, 5 days, and then we will see, what the makeup is of the new government. And will we have that? Will we have the existing one? Will we have Labour re-elected? Or, my God, I'd perish the thought of the other combination that we're that's out there right now. Anyway, because we are coming down to the wire. And look, I don't know whether you have been aware, but there's been, it has actually been, and I've heard the comment, I've heard the commentary from others who've been around for a long time, as indeed I have, and I've never seen it, and they certainly haven't seen it. And that's the nastiness that has crept in to this election. You know, the candidates who are doing their best, they're putting their hands up. They're drawn from our communities right throughout the Motu, and they want, some of them are trying to return to Parliament. Some of them are trying to make it through for the first time, and reflective of our community. But there's been a lot of vitriol and a lot of dirty politicking, and I have to say predominantly against Māori candidates and certainly our Māori women. It shouldn't be that way. But that tells you something about New Zealand. That tells you something that, you know, whether we like it or not, we've still got a long way to go. I was going to, I won't quote, what's his name, Taika Waititi, but I think, you know, that's still absolutely the case. New Zealand, we have a long, just a long way to go. So, so Mecca is joining me now, and Mecca is Waititi. Have I got that right? Is of course a candidate in the Māori electorate of Ikaroa Rāwhiti. I hope my came out. I hope all that little, my little spiel came out. Mecca, kia ora. Nice to talk with you this evening.
Kia ora, Merepeka. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, but I don't know. I might have had my mic switched off and I was doing this big blurb about the election.
No, I heard it. It's just that the line is very, very staticky.
Oh, so, okay. Well, I can certainly hear you loud and clearly.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Well, look, I mean, we're counting down, but it's not over till it's over. We all know that. So there's one last push for all the candidates, and obviously our Māori Party candidates, and myself included, for the general seat of Rotorua. But I was just saying that there's been some real disappointment from what I have seen, you know, nasty and uncalled for racist vitriol that has been directed at Māori candidates, but particularly at our wahine Māori.
Yes. And, you know, for me, this being my fourth general election, Merepeka, I've been quite lucky that I haven't experienced, but clearly, like you said, in this election, the youngest candidate of our movement, Hannah, my P. Clark, I mean, has clearly not just faced it once, but has faced it several times, which means it's a deliberate attempt to throw our youngest candidate, and a wahine Māori at that, off her stride. And so that speaks to the statement you've said, that it's probably actions that I've never seen experienced so targeted to somebody, you know, in their first go at running for Parliament, versus, you know, coming at some of the seasoned ones who know how to handle it. But, you know, for me personally in this election, I've not seen it, but I've been very worried, like many of us, for what Hannah and her whānau have been going through.
Yes, it is. And you're right. To like you, Mecca, I haven't experienced it either. I mean, I was 11. I think I was re-elected or elected four times to the Rotorua Lakes Council, and I think four times to the Lakes District Health Board. And I have never experienced anything. You know, I think I've had maybe one in that entire time. I think maybe two billboards, and I'm not sure if they just came down in the wind or. But I've never had anything. And do you know something, Mecca? Neither would I expect it. You and I, you know, we would, I mean, of course we would. We'd bounce straight back. Not only that, I mean, we would be able to equip ourselves well if anybody wanted to have a go at us. But it is disturbing.
Yeah, it is. And I think as experienced politicians, as we both are, you generally will know who the people are because you know your area very well. I know my area very well, and where those particular individuals would come from. But where I have sourced, whether it's online abuse, it's actually been others that have pulled those individuals to account. And that's the best they can do, is try and unseat you online. Whereas in public halls, I relish standing up in front of people and taking the hard questions, whether it's from our own, or whether it's from, you know, tangata tiriti or other people who really just want to know what you stand for, I think. But that's, again, being a seasoned politician. But for our young ones, I mean, that's just, like I said, it's completely uncalled for.
So I've thought about that, Mecca, and I've thought about it. Mm. What is it that particularly, I believe, it's in particular, it's older white males. And when they see this beautiful young Māori woman, articulate, obviously bilingual, and I just feel that they get shaken by it. They get they feel threatened by it, and it's just because it's never been on their radar before. Well, certainly, I mean, now, you know, for a young woman to stand up and be absolutely visibly proud of who she is and outspoken about where she wants Aotearoa to go, they just can't handle it. And it's like it just gets them all rattled to the extent where they think they've got to do something, and they let themselves down, of course.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I mean, the incident in her home with the intruder, he was an elderly Pākehā male. But I've got to say, there's some younger ones too, and one's a leader of a political party. And I'm talking about David Seymour, because I've seen firsthand in the House in this year's budget in 2023, when the government announced their budget, they had a sitting of leaders of the parties in the House. And it was run on TV3, and they had the guy Ryan interviewing each of the leaders, and they were to sit in their seats, and then he was to go to all of them. So it was on TV, and so we all tuned in because Debbie was there representing Te Pāti Māori. And in between, so Debbie sat in one seat, then David Seymour and Marama Davis sat next to him, and then I think we had somebody else next to him, and then we had Megan Wood from Labour. And of course, when Debbie got up to speak, they all were given turns. David was chipping at her while she was answering her questions, which is, we get that in the House all the time. But it was sort of trying to throw her off her stride, you see. So then, you know, Debbie just ignored him and carried on. He kept butting, and Ryan kept saying, you're going to get your turn. So he gets his turn. No one kind of interjects on him. Then Marama has a turn, and he goes at Marama. Yeah. But he never has a go at Megan. And so I go, well, hold on, bro. If you're going to have a chip at woman, then you chip at all the women, not just the brown women that are sitting on either side of you. So I've seen behaviour by, some men with fragility problems.
Yes.
That when strong Māori women are on their feet, young, middle-aged or elderly, they just can't handle the jangle. And so they feel incumbent upon them to interrupt. Which I think in this year's leaders debate, you saw Marama and I think and our own Debbie, sort of hold their line when he tried to do that in the leaders debate. So good on them.
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. You know, hand up. You know, you've had your turn. You know, now I thought that was really very, very good that they did that to him, because you know that he was on the receiving end and he didn't like it. He didn't like it. Well, tough titty, you know.
Yeah, but, absolutely, absolutely. And when I crossed the floor and came into the House, because Rawiri gave me a seat, and his seat's up the front next to David Seymour. As soon as I sat down, if the looks could curl, then he picks his phone up. He resented that I was not a leader and I was sitting in the front bench. But what he doesn't understand is, as a former minister, you know, you can sit in the front row of the seating. There's this whole hierarchy, you see.
Yeah.
So he has a go at me, then picks the phone up to ring to report to his people in the office to try and get me removed off the seat.
Yeah.
So in the end, you either got to ignore them or you just got to give them back what they do. But you never, ever show an inch of fear. Show an inch that whatever they're saying
is getting to you.
You've just got to hold your line. And so that's, again, about being seasoned, because he's a rarity, but you cannot let them get under your skin, because when they do that, they know they're winning.
That's right. That's right. And I think he's also got that small man's syndrome. I think that's what you call it, something like that. I mean, we could go on, we could go a bit further on that, but we won't. But yeah. Now tell me,
how fragility.
Yeah, but that's lovely. That's the way. And so you know, we've only got a few more. You know, what have we got? 5 days, haven't we? And then we're into the final. But you know, in Rotorua, only 30% of our voting population have so far voted. So there's a lot of people out there who are still considering it, weighing up their options, thinking about it. And so you know, we've got to make sure that we go right to the. You know, it's not over till it's over.
That's right. Because you know, I'm not sure how the Rotorua electorate structured, but in my one, I've got lots of rural areas that make up Ikaroa Rāwhiti, particularly up the coast, but not just solely the coast. But when I look at the polling booth, Merepeka, they only have one on election day. So anyone in my rural communities don't have the option of voting early. And so, you know, there's a reason for why my ones aren't, particularly the coast, aren't voting early, is because when you look at what's available, they've got to troop 2.5 hours to Gisborne if they want to vote early. So there's something fundamentally wrong for our rural communities that your only option to vote is actually on election day, because that's when the polling booth is open. And then when I go through, because I've gone through all my polling booths with a fine-tooth comb, then you'll find if you get into the town, that they've got all different hours and different days. And so you've got to be really on your game, that you need to know where they are and you need to deliberately get out and vote. But there's a whole lot of issues. And don't get me started on the Electoral Commission. I'm in the middle of writing another letter of complaint with the lack, the woeful communications that's gone out in this year's election, particularly in electorates that suffered natural disasters like mine has with Gabriel, and the inability to have a kind of tailored response for communities that still aren't back in their homes, which is predominantly Māori in Wairoa, in some parts of Gisborne and Tikaraka. And what plan B have you got for people who are no longer in their homes or staying in cars or out of the area because there's no houses available in their town? So there's all of this, and yet I still can't get a response out of the Electoral Commission. So there goes another letter.
Yes. And tell me, because, you know, obviously when you moved from or left and moved over to the Party Māori, when you've been going around, because people said that you were, from what I heard, that this was earlier on, mind you, Mecca, people said, you know, she won't be able to come back from that. That was what I heard originally. Now, it seems to be that that has changed completely from what I'm now hearing. So from you being going around, has that been the case? I mean, it's been some time ago, hasn't it? So, you know, when you did. So.
So one of the things in the 10 years that I've had the mandate for the seat is always staying in touch with those that you represent. And, of course, the decision to cross the floor in May wasn't an easy one, but it was one that I felt I had to make for myself. And so, of course, I called people who have been instrumental in my political career to, one, hear it directly from me. I didn't have a chance to go around to talk to everyone because then it would have got out into the media. So I trusted myself to call key people across the electorate, one, to tell them that I was about to do this, two, that they didn't hear it in the media, and three, to gauge how they felt about it. I can tell you 100% stood with me. And the reason why they stood with me, Merepeka, is they actually wanted me to leave the party in 2017 after what happened to me in 2017. And it was me that stood loyal to the party to say no, because I've got nothing to be ashamed for. This has all been trumped up and I'm not leaving because it would look like they defeated me. And I said, no, we will stick in there, we'll prove ourselves, we'll regain the confidence of the Prime Minister and we'll get our ministerial warrants back. And that's exactly what happened in 2020. I got them all back. And, you know, I was really enjoying the role. But when it came to the cyclone, and people say, well, look, you know, you got sour grapes because you weren't promoted. It wasn't even about promotion. it was about losing resources in your ministerial office, and so your inability to do your job was impacted. And being the recovery minister, I required all the resources in a ministerial office to do justice to the role, and yet they stripped me of half my resources. And I just went, I cannot keep doing this because someone's going to fail. The decision to move over, now I didn't have time to explain that to everybody. All I said is, look, in the end, I have to follow my heart or my puku. And my puku said, go represent your people. That's what my grandmother always told me, is learn the tools of the Pākehā to come back and help your people. Mm-hmm. I did 10 years with Labour, and, you know, after that, I decided time to move. And I haven't looked back, and I have not regretted a single decision that I've made. And the people that I've spoken to, they get why I went. They've asked the hard questions. I've been truthful to them. And I've got, obviously, there's some people that are still hoha, but the majority get the reason why I have crossed and are still in our camp.
Yeah, that's great. And the other thing, too, is apart from those people that that you know you owe an explanation to, you don't owe it to anybody else, and certainly not the media, who wouldn't know jack about what you that your intentions, because I've heard some of them. So that, look, you were quite correct. There is static on the line. I've just had the word that I need to wrap it up so we can reboot something, which I'm not quite sure what it is, so that it's going to come out a lot clearer. But I think, and I know that you're busy this evening, Mecca, so I just want to thank you so much for taking the time just to come on and just to tell us how it's going. And I do want to wish you all the best.